Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning on this Reformation Sunday. This day when we Lutherans all get excited about all sorts of things like Martin Luther and justification by grace through faith. And we get to sing what was referred to me once as the Lutheran fight song. You get to sing it at the end of the service. You'll figure it out once we get there. All right. It is a wonderful day for us to be together. We've gathered this morning to be in worship. And so our worship continues, begins, however we want to feel about it, with our gathering song. Let us rise and sing together.
Has beaten you and rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And on this Reformation Sunday, our worship continues with the dialogue of the Creator, found printed in your bulletin. Some of you who've had catechism classes through the years may recognize these dialogues. I believe that God created me. He has given me and still preserves. He provides me with food and clothing,
home and family, daily work, and all I need from day to day.
God also protects me in time of danger. All this He does out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy. Therefore, I surely ought to thank and praise Him. We pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. defend them against all enemies of the gospel, and bestow on your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson on this Reformation Sunday comes from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with the 31st verse. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson comes from the third chapter of Romans, beginning with the 19th verse. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, effective through faith. He did this to show His righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that He Himself is righteous and that He justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what comes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, If you continue in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered Him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The gospel of our Lord. You be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Surely the days are coming. Days when God will make a new covenant because the old covenant was shattered. The whole world will be held accountable because no human being will be justified in God's sight by deeds prescribed by the law. This is the enslavement that Jesus is talking about in the gospel. This is the prison in which we are trapped until the light of Christ shines. For if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If you are listening to scriptures today, it is quite an indictment against humanity, against all of us. But I also believe that within these scriptures is also quite a joy-filled message for us as well, because we are awakened to the truth that though we are slaves to our sin and prisoners to our selfishness, we are also graced with the truth of God's love for us in Jesus Christ that frees us to live life as God's children. See, too often, people around us, even us ourselves, echo the questions from Jesus' original audience today. We say, well, we've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean? Why would we need to be made free? Or else, too often, we look around and we say, well, at least I'm not as bad as they are, whoever they might be. But if we're honest with ourselves, we can recognize the chains of sin and selfishness that bind us. Things like shame and guilt, oppression, both of us and from us. Fragility in our bodies, our minds, our spirits, these chains. And when we see these chains, we know that we are imprisoned, enslaved, trapped. But this is where grace comes in. This is where God's love comes in. From the promises that we discover in Jeremiah, that God will forgive our iniquity and remember our sins no more, so that this new covenant written on our hearts and in our lives will help us to grow and bear fruit. From those promises to the proclamation of Paul, who reminds us that we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. We hear again and again and again today the power of God's love in setting us free. For Jesus, that's what he's come to do. Jesus has come to show us, to teach us, to tell us, to live for us the truth of God's love for each of us and for all of us. Jesus has come so that we might learn from him the height and the width and the depth of God's love for us, willingly suffering for us and gladly rising again so that the love of God will flow down upon all of us. Jesus lived and died and rose again so that we might be free. And when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. In the year 1520, Martin Luther wrote a treatise trying to explain to Pope Leo X his thought process and how it was that he was reading Scripture. This was after Luther had pounded the 95 Theses on the door of the Wittenberg Church that started rumbles throughout all of Christendom. But it was also before Luther was excommunicated. And so what he was trying to do was he was trying to show to the Pope, to the Church, to the people around him, the power of Scripture and how it was leading him to a different understanding of our lives as Christians. The treatise's title was The Freedom of a Christian. And this month and next is its 500th anniversary. But Luther began this treatise with a dichotomy, with a paradox, two statements that just ring in my ears to this day. The first is, a Christian is perfectly free, Lord of all, subject to none. The next sentence is, a Christian is perfectly dutiful, servant of all, subject to all. Perfectly free, Lord, perfectly dutiful servant. As children of God, washed clean in baptism, fed at our Lord's table, we are free and beholden to no one. But also as followers of Jesus, we are called to love our neighbors, to care for strangers, to do good to those who harm us. We are subject to anyone and everyone. And that is the paradox of our lives. Luther was writing during a time where people were not only enslaved to their sinfulness, but they were also imprisoned by demands from their church for good works. Now, these good works being demanded was not caring for your neighbor. It wasn't feeding or healing or helping or clothing. But they were prescribed practices recognized as good works by the church. They were duties and rituals that were performed so that someone could earn God's good favor and look good in the eyes of the church. They were going on pilgrimage or visiting relics. They were buying indulgences or going to masses or doing penance. There was all sorts of different good works. And sometimes these good works were also used to sort of inflate the ego of someone who was good at them or had the money to do them all, as opposed to those of them who couldn't. And instead of this accumulation of good works, Luther wrote in The Freedom of a Christian about a happy exchange between Jesus and all of us. Jesus came down and took on our sin, our pain, our judgment. And in return, he gives us his liberating life. That's the exchange. And in this exchange, we are free from the clutches of sin and from forces that would try to tear us apart from anything. And we are empowered in turn to use that freedom to serve our neighbor, whoever they may be. You see, this happy exchange is the source of both our freedom and our service. It's the source of our freedom for service. And in Romans today, Paul reminds us that there is no distinction between us Christians or even between us Christians and other people, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It takes Jesus Christ. It takes this happy exchange, which gives to us our justification by grace as a gift. It's not a paycheck. It's not something you earn, and it's not a savings bond, something that you've bought. It's a gift. And this gift frees us from condemnation. It frees us from obligation to earn God's favor. It frees us from our slavery to sin. But this happy exchange also frees us for works of love and service for others. Neither Luther or Paul, not even Jesus himself, none of them doesn't want us to do good things. But they want us to do these good things for the sake of others, for the sake of those lost and last and least ones, the forgotten ones, the strangers that we don't know and the family that we love. They want us to do these things inspired by God's love for neighbors of every shape and size. There is no obligation to do specific deeds or actions, but there is a call to love as Jesus loves. And now we are free to try. You see, the freedom that Luther discovered in the gospel was not a freedom that liberates us from responsibility to perform works of justice and service to neighbors, but it is a freedom to genuinely care for the well-being of others and to joyfully dedicate ourselves to their service. The justification that Paul speaks of gives us the gift of opportunity. We don't have to worry about making up for yesterday's mistakes, and instead can walk into today with hope, filled with God's love to share with all around us. The freedom that Jesus grants is a freedom to live as a child of God truly, and to live as his follower. And we are free now for all of that. The days are surely here. A day to celebrate. A day to celebrate God's goodness and love for all of us. Every day in our lives, we deal with fear. Fear in the world around us. We're living in uncertain and difficult times. And amid the pandemic of COVID-19 and ongoing threats of all shapes and sizes, this community and our world are being ravaged by illness, by death, and injustice. And so fear and grief and anger and strife can all rise up within us and all around us. We're tempted to turn inward in despair. The good news that I get to share today, the truth that comes to set us free, is that God loves us, each of us and all of us together. He loves us in Jesus Christ. Now, Jeremiah wrote to an audience in exile or on its way to exile. Torn from home and forced to a new land, Jeremiah's message was one of hope and love, of forgiveness and reconciliation, because that is how much God loves. Paul was writing to the church in Rome who were struggling with living according to Jewish law, with living with works prescribed by the law, with wondering what it was they were supposed to do. And Paul's message was one of hope and love, of grace and gifts that give us freedom to try and share God's love without fear of failure. That is how much God loves. Jesus' audience was struggling to understand Jesus talk about truth and freedom, for they believed that they already knew the truth and they didn't need to be made free. Jesus' message is that truth, is that the truth that he brings is the truth of God's love for us all, the truth of God's righteousness as a gift that frees us to care about one another, and it shows us that that is how much God loves. Martin Luther wrote so that the people of his day and us today might know that as Christians, we live a paradox of freedom and service. We live as followers of Jesus and as children of God, not because we earned it or deserve it, but because that is how much God loves. Today, we celebrate the Reformation. Today, we celebrate our freedom and God's love. Today, we walk into the world, into the future, with hope and care, with grace and mercy, with light and peace. Today we know that God is our refuge and strength, that the Lord of hosts is with us, and that when the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. So let go of the fear and live into your freedom. Amen. Our celebration of Reformation Sunday continues as we join together now in our dialogue of the Word. Will the congregation please rise? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, Son of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. At great cost, he has saved and redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He has freed me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. All this he has done that I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all those in need. Renew and inspire the church in the freedom of the gospel, O God. Where the church is in error, reform it. Where the church speaks your truth, strengthen it. Where the church is divided, unify it. Ignite in us the working of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, as the earth changes, as mountains shake and waters roar, may we care for this planet as a holy habitation for all living things. Sustain all peoples and lands recovering from natural disasters of any kind. We pray especially for those recovering from hurricanes and wildfire. Lord, in your mercy, guide areas of the world divided or traumatized by conflict, especially in our own land. Free all from slavery and human trafficking, and protect all in harm's way. Lord, in your mercy, release those living in bondage to debts, chronic pain, or addiction. Grant healing touch to those who are ill. We pray especially for David Gunnell, for Dr. Stephen Blatchley, for Carol Kunfer. Lord, in your mercy. In this family of faith, we give thanks for courageous voices that have remained firm in their commitment to the one who frees us from sin and death. Centered in your grace, unify us in the hope of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. Even in death, you free us and give us a place in your house. We give thanks for our ancestors who have shown us truth and freedom, especially Martin Luther and those who work for the renewal of the church. We pray also for the family and the friends of Daryl Bauman. Lord, in your mercy, listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We conclude our celebration of the Reformation by joining together in the dialogue of the Spirit. I hope that some of you have recognized the fact that these are Luther's explanation to the three articles of the Apostles' Creed. And so we conclude. I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort,
believe in my Lord Jesus Christ,
But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept in the one true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it united with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, day after day, he fully forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead, and give me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certain truth. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Stay warm, stay dry, stay safe. As we go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Away they can.
God will.